I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Fall in this bitch like some good pussy, can't stand myself. So good, she's so hood, she a cheesehead. Patty Melt. GEDs with some EBTs and some DVDs. That shit was happening. She reeled me in with some chicken wings and some collard greens. That shit was bragging. Just cracked me a new bitch, bust a new nut on her nigga's jersey. My bitch got off at 9 o'clock, so I had to shake around 7:30. 105 and I'm stomping fast with this big gun and I'm hella dirty. Get caught with this shit, I ain't coming home to like 20:30. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house
mm-hmm.
on a Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
end of the week Wednesday. We made it. Woo.
Yes, we did.
Thank you. We made it.
I feel you, dog.
I'm running on fumes. We did balls deep this morning,
mm-hmm.
and then we're doing this. So been doing stuff all day. But it's always dope to be back with our audience and whatnot, man. Appreciate everybody listening. You know, I might be a little inebriated, okay? I have almost drank all of this bitch wine today by myself. I'm probably gonna finish it off during the show. I mean, let's complete the set. This is what I say.
Go ahead and do you, boo-boo.
Yeah, if I've been a little bit sassier on social media today,
sassier.
It might be this bitch wine. I don't know. It's in full effect right now. Okay, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, just search.
We can say thank you to Dexter for that, can't you?
Yeah, man. Dexter gave us the bitch wine for 5 years working together, maybe, or
mm-hmm.
he gave us wine, and
it's,
you know,
always good.
Been sitting around. I don't know what happened to my wine glass, so I guess I'm drinking this to the head in the middle of the show.
Yeah, I may have moved it. I'm sorry.
So I drank a lot of it during Balls Deep, and might as well finish it off today. But shout out to Shadow Dog. Speaking of Shadow Dog, they are sponsoring today's show, and you can help them out, help them afford this wine by going to iTunes and Amazon and searching for The Best of Rod and Karen. There you will find the audio plays that Karen and I have been in so far. It's our second album. We're on it with all your friends, Nick Jew, Lexa Yeans, like Thatcher, like just everybody that's been on the show when we go to Shadow Dogs. They're all on there. I think you guys will enjoy it. We got to be silly and have fun. We appreciate everybody that takes time out to do that. We also are sponsored by Bevel. Bevel's the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. This day, 609, Bobby Schmurder locked up in jail.
Free Bobby.
Free Bobby. They sending all these people home, but not Bobby.
Ain't that the truth?
The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And we have a lot of stuff that's happening to talk about and whatnot, but I had some things I was just thinking about randomly today on via social media and whatnot. So I'm going to talk about them on the show. First of all, I've been seeing some of the defenses for Nate Parker, and yeah, it's bad. It's looking like Cosby bad the way people are defending it. Like, it's like nobody learned shit from that moment, or a lot of people didn't, which is so funny, because when it comes to something like that, you do realize you can say nothing, because nothing's gonna happen to his life. So, like, really, you're only speaking up just because you want to make sure victims know that you stand against them, which is so funny. And in the comedy community, it just happened to coincide with this other dude at the UCB that we talked about that got accused of rape by two different women. Mm-hmm. And that's also funny because I'm seeing so many comedians try to spin it, but they not being funny. Which I thought was rule number one. Like, you're not even being funny. You just saying angry shit and being mad about feminists and social justice warriors, quote unquote. And it's so funny. We are literally at the point where people are lining up whatever the issue is to fight the other people they don't like.
Right. And
it's not like, it's not even about whatever the issue is. Nope. It's just, that's their brand now, is I fight these people. Follow me, retweet me, listen to my podcast, help me go viral, attend my shows. And it's really to this angry white demographic of just like disenfranchised, emasculated white men that are losing space in America, and they feel like this is their last hurrah. Like, it just, it feels like the boot is going on their neck, and they don't even know where the anger comes from. I'm sure a lot of it is just residual racism and shit, but they're angry about being displaced. And that's like a whole genre of podcasts, a whole genre of comedians. They're not very funny.
Nope.
But they're a safe place for white dudes to go. It's so funny to say that, but it is. It's a place where you can go be racist, homophobic, sexist. It's not really funny. It's not really humorous. But it's a place where they get to be themselves, quote unquote. It's why Trump is so appealing to certain people.
Correct.
It's, you know, like, this idea of making space for other people and their fucking opinions is just so scary to them. I went and read some of these comedian statuses today, and I was just laughing so hard because, like, their problems amount to being mad at the PC mafia. You know, first of all, the PC mafia sounds like what Best Buy wanted to call the Geek Squad, but then they decided, like, nah, we should call it something else. PC mafia sound a little too dangerous. But PC mafia, what does that even mean? What does that do to people? What, like, no. Nobody's like, remember so-and-so? Yeah, the PC mafia got him. You know,
he never seen him again. He went out one night, told a rape joke, and he disappeared forever.
They found him at the bottom of the river with concrete shoes. Yes. The PC mafia took him out.
Nobody be heard from again.
Essentially, when you say PC, you're just talking about people that say, hey, you should have respect for some people and talk about them with respect. And it's like, fuck that. It's infringing on my rights. Okay, cool. Well, then I'm not going to support whatever you do. Well, fuck you. You have to. Like that's essentially the argument, which is, it's so fucked up that y'all don't support my hacky ass, unfunny, ranting comedy that nobody likes except for white dudes. It's so fucked up that that's not all encompassing. What's really happened, especially the comedy, is that we have the internet.
Right.
Instead of just a small room where you could go be offensive or whatever to a small crowd or to a few people or to diehard fans
and
of you,
nobody outside that people group will ever hear about it.
Now you want to put your screed on the internet and you want everybody to like it. Or even worse, you know people are going to dislike it and you hope to get the attention from it because, right, you know, it makes you validated, feel validated that I'm trolling and I'm getting all the attention. Look at me, guys. But it's so funny because I was just watching these, like, you know what white dudes call each other now to insult each other?
What?
Cucks. Okay?
Like cuckold,
yes. A cuck is like an insulting term that straight white dudes call each other. A dude tried to call me that on Twitter one time. I just started laughing. I was like, first of all, I wouldn't be a cuck in any situation, apparently. You don't know the rules. All the videos I've seen, it's normally some black dude fucking some white person, so I don't know about the cuck thing. But more importantly, can y'all just go back to stealing black slang? Because that is so whack. Like, we let you guys come up with one slang term and we let you have cock. That was already pretty bad. You so unoriginal, your next attempt was the same word, but you changed like one letter and you was like, cuck. See, I'm insulting you. Ain't you mad? And like, who gets mad at that? It's so funny, man. I wish I had white people's problems.
Me too.
I need to work. That's what I'm working my life towards. I need to be like, I need to wake up and the number one agitation I have is people on social media that want quote unquote social justice. I want to be like, I'm so angry at these people for wanting equality for everybody, and dislike and hate speech.
And let that be my biggest problem of the fucking year.
This is what happened when you don't have no oppression to worry about. This is what happened. You had to make it up. When you don't have to worry about getting killed and you've lost your comedic voice because you don't have any problems in the world. No one wants to hear your relationship bullshit or whatever the fuck else you wrote. This is what's left, is calling people cucks and social justice warrior and being mad at the PC mafia. It's like, I was so angry the last couple of days, but it just, I woke up laughing at this, how stupid this shit is at this point. Like, this is really just a cry of, I have nothing left. Feminists are making me mad. Why? Because they be wanting equality with women, and I don't like that shit.
Why? Because they want the same rights as me.
They don't like when I dismiss rape victims. They don't like it. They don't like my tone and the way I talk about women. They don't like that. Oh, my right. God, my problems are so bad. Oh, man. Okay, I got a headache just thinking about it. Oh, my God, man. I was just thinking about that shit today. Like, there's literally nothing left. There's nothing left where we're at this point where you're sitting around worried about social justice. You're worried about social justice warriors in the pejorative sense. Like, someone used that in a sentence with me today, and it was somebody I know that I respect. I replied back like, are you really using that towards me? Like, because they were like, well, you know, these SJWs. I was like, come on, man, we not doing this. Okay.
Now, you know, I would know what that was.
Social justice warrior, SJW. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we not doing this. Mm-mm. We don't talk like that. Let's leave that to the white dudes who have no problem. Which is another thing. A lot of what I'm realizing about comedians, which is, because we're in an interesting circle now, right? Mm-hmm. We've done this show for 6 years. At this point, we've built so many bridges with different comedians, and we have our faves, and we have people that we fuck with, don't fuck with, all this shit. It's so interesting because comedians, when I was growing up, I viewed them as like truth tellers and these really like, now, of course, I was seeing the best for the most part. It's not, right. You know, this, like, just how people talk about music, comedy's kind of the same. Like, while access to comedy is much more broader, and I can now see and hear about people that I would have never heard about in a million years back in the day.
Right.
Also, I'm seeing people that aren't as good. They're raw. They're still working on their shit. Some people just aren't funny. Right. And all this stuff. But when I was a kid, you know, the comedians I did see, they all seemed to have been polished or really good or be saying something that was worth the stage they were on. Mm-hmm. And now, kind of watching the game change, you know, watching what success is now for people, you know, I'm a comedian, but I really want to get to be able to be an actor so that I can make real money. Yeah. I want certain things, but it's not
comedy and my focus. Right.
Right. So now watching this come to fruition and being friends with some of these people and being able to see the social circle and know who is the movers and shakers and who's currently on top, it's so funny watching all these like neutered, spineless people that they pretend to have all this like strong voices and stand up for this, that, and that, and they speak out for this, that, and the other, and they're the truth tellers. And it's like watching them kowtow to whoever they consider to be on top and use them as a shield for their own like cowardly behaviors. They try to like get on with these folks. Yo, it's really disheartening. Like, it's because, and it's not, I don't even blame them. It's just that they at work.
Right, they at work.
They at work. Like, essentially, their social media is their job. Mm-hmm. And when the higher ups, let's say management to middle management type comedians that they feel might one day look down on them and help them out are going off saying completely wrong shit that these people would never agree with any other day, they're silent. You know, they're retweeting that shit, they're passing it on, but they're not saying anything because as far as they're concerned, they're not qualified to say anything, and that person might one day look out for them. And so I'm watching it happen in an industry that doesn't have an office. These people put themselves in those cubicles. They put themselves in that box. You like, one of the reasons I love what we do, but I also feel like this podcast, we have our limit too, because we don't really cow down, we don't bow down to anybody, you know. Like, the point is, we get on here and we talk, we speak our mind, we say the truth as we see it. We are open to developing more truth, we're open to new information all the time. But, you know, there's people we don't fuck with that we're openly like, we don't fuck with them. There's people that, you know, we'll play a clip on the show and be like, man, fuck that person, fuck Don Lemon or whatever. You know, we have a ceiling for this shit because of that. Like, but it's much more freeing, and it's much more something I'd rather do than to have to sit back and be like, well, don't say nothing about this person saying that because they got a bigger platform than you, and this shit might happen, you know. Yeah, like,
you know, they touring next year, they might ask me to go with them,
right? Like, I don't have to worry about that, and I'm so glad, you know, that I don't have to worry about it. But yeah, it was really disheartening to see that shit, man. you know, I, there are black comedians that still fuck with Kumia, that still fuck with, you know, like, the show Race War, right? You got that show where, you know, the black dude will be like, they have this whole little bit where it's like, I bestowed the use of the N-word onto the white dude so you can say nigger now. Like, that's a whole segment.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But it's just like, is they at work? I mean, you at work, you had like, what you gonna say? No, this dude bigger than you as far as the medium is concerned. What the fuck you gonna say? Like, you wouldn't get that job, or you wouldn't be in that room if you was the kind of nigga that would be like, man, fuck no, I'm not doing that. Y'all wouldn't have a show. It wouldn't be the same. Like, you have to go along to get along. I'm glad we're independent. You know, I'm sure they're, those, but at the same time, that's the kind of thing that will get the bigger platform. That's the thing.
Right.
Sirius is going to come looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it really takes to get a lot of comedians to just fall in line. Cause honestly, it's a job, man.
It's a job.
You know, anybody that don't believe, everybody can't be a truth teller. Everybody can't be on that same shit. So, but it's been funny to watch the connections social media wise to like trickle down to like people getting their orders almost. But it's been so interesting, man. Like, I saw Charlamagne was tweeting some shit about Nate Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying some shit like, it's funny how this the one movie that people decide to boycott, and y'all, this movie was so great, I just saw it, and you know, it's all, and some other shit like, y'all stood behind Kobe and R. Kelly and Mike Tyson, but y'all ain't gonna stand behind Nate Parker. And you know what I was thinking? The same thing I think about every time Charlamagne says some really dumb shit. I am so glad when MTV emailed me to ask if he come on the show, I was like, no. I'm so glad. Like,
refresh.
I don't want to deal with that shit, you know? We're getting a sound thing. Yeah. Let me refresh. Give me a second. But yeah, I'm just glad I don't have to deal with it. Cause I don't want people coming to me like, why you had this dude on the show? You know, like, you know how he is. He said shit. And it's funny because the first time it happened, it was just me being like, I remember some fuck shit he said. It's not, you know, like, no harm, no foul. Don't need it on the show. We've never needed the boost, quote unquote, from it. As if there would really be one or whatever. Your screen is blank now. Is it blank on yours?
I'm moving on mine. I mean,
okay, you're back. Fresh. Don't do anything. But yeah, so it's just weird to see it, you know. So but yeah, I remember seeing that tweet and people were like angry about it, and I was like, oh yeah, this is a good time to remind, dude, I'm glad I always said no to that shit. You know, we just don't need it. I'd rather have the integrity of our show than the couple of extra listeners you get from having somebody on that you think is a fuck nigga.
Right, the couple of extra, because sometimes I think people don't really understand that a lot of times these boosts in quote-unquote numbers that you get, you don't get, because we've been on a lot of major, you know, platforms and publications and things like that, and we have algorithms and statistics that tell us how many people come and how many people view, and like, we look at that and it's not that big. We actually get more followers and interaction stuff from y'all just spreading the word, from you listening right now, you telling your mama, cousin, sister, uncle. We literally, our platform literally spreads better by word of mouth a lot of times.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I'm back. They're saying they lost me or whatever. Was that before I hit refresh?
That was before.
Okay. All right. Cool. But yeah, it's just been interesting to see, because like I said, I grew up with so much, Spider said it was still frozen. All right. Hold on. Let me refresh one more time. But it's so funny, because you just grow up with reverence of certain shit, and then you, once you become an adult, these people are like among your age group and shit. You realize, like, oh, these people are just people like everybody else.
Everybody else, and they working like everybody else. What they do is different, but at the end of the day, it's still a job, and they still want to get income. They still have bills they have to pay. They still have obligations and things like that.
Yeah, let me check one time now. All right, I just refreshed. I have no idea if it's working now. But yeah, they had work, essentially. Like, just, and it's just like everybody else. You go to work, you get a check. Mm-hmm. A lot of us mute ourselves at work. It's just weird to associate it with a vehicle where you essentially are told to go talk and be yourself at work. You know? Oh, it says network error. All right.
To reset the server.
Yeah, let me close this whole thing and bring it right back up. Okay. And they said they can hear me but not see me, so maybe it's an internet thing. Give us like 2 minutes, guys. I'm gonna close this and bring it back up. All right, pause this bad boy. Before we rudely interrupted by technical difficulties, it's just interesting to see, like, the people you respect, or the people that the career you think you respect, that it's just work like everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, it was just, you know, like I said, it's been cool to be able to call our own shots, because honestly I think part of it is the way I was raised and who I was raised around. I never felt like I had to capitulate to whiteness in the way that a lot of people have to do to be successful in that field, especially in comedy, which is very white centric. Like, as much as they talk about diversity and shit, you know, it's mostly a white male skewed genre.
Between 18 to 25.
Yeah, between what Comedy Central's focused on, between who you have to be able to pitch to in order to get on, you know, everything is kind of marketed and geared towards that. And while other people are making strides in different spaces and able to carve out their own niche, the it seems the main point always comes back to, yeah, but these white folks, look at the Nightly Show. I mean, they were like, y'all aren't connecting with the audience, but the audience was a very narrow gap of white dudes, you know. And it's like, white dudes don't want to hear about race. It don't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't matter how important your show is. It doesn't matter that there's now new competition and all this, and none of that shit mattered. It was simply, you don't pick up with a certain amount, with a certain viewer. And I think when I was younger, because we were seeing comedians who had crafted their voice, and being black and speaking on race was more of a unique thing, I believe. You know, like when Chris Rock was doing it was like, okay, every comedian can't do this. When
you still can't.
Yeah, well, now it seems like niggas is scared, or just they trying to be on that Cam Newton, you know, I'm past race shit, you know, which I'm working on. I'm trying to get past race, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm running real fast. It's hard, but
not me.
I'm trying to look back at it on my way out the door.
Not me. I don't care how fast you run, it's gonna trip you, slip you, throw some oil out there, it's gonna hit you in the face, smack you in the ass, it's gonna be something to be like, hey, let me remind you, you still brown.
I think that's when we gonna officially sell out, is when I'm gonna blink in Morse code to the audience so they know what's up. But I'm gonna be like, listen guys, we are past race, okay? We do not need to talk about this anymore. All right, so officially as a nation, I feel like we are all for that. No more fucking with black people.
I'm not even gonna lie. If the money is right, I don't know what the dollar signs got to be, but if the money is right, we might fuck around and be cooning it up, y'all.
Cooning it up. Nah, but you know what's funny is, like, that that, to me, that's what made so many comedians great. But now it seems like that's a thing comedians now either don't talk about or can't really talk about.
True.
For the most part, because it's like you're gonna turn off white folks, which is funny because Dave Chappelle blew up off of race.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really smart comedy that spoke about race, and everyone loves it because white people love consuming black culture. But now it's like, it seemed like everybody's so scared of it, man, you know. But you know, the new shit now is, how do I get these fans, these white people that will pay to hear me be offensive? That's the new wave, you know, for a type of comedian. But yeah, it's just been interesting to witness as I've gotten deeper and deeper in that community, you know, where it's like, holy shit, this is like, I'm watching people that, cause look, man, the worst offenders to me, the saddest ones, is black men. Cause they'll go over there to fuck with these white dudes that are homophobic, that are sexist, that are misogynistic, that are xenophobic, and they have these platforms that are supported by white listeners who want to hear that shit. But I'm like, you taking your black ass over there, they think you a nigger. Like, you're not exempt to this shit. Like, you think they somehow have all these jokes and hate black women and it's funny, but they don't think that about you? You came out a black woman, possibly, or someone down the line in your family did, if you black. Like, you don't care. It doesn't, like you're I was talking to somebody today and she said black men are men first. That's why you have to be careful, because they'll side first with the gender shit before they even think about the fact that, oh wait, this is racist, you know. Like, oh, they talking shit about a black woman, that's cool because I'm a man and we both talking shit about women, ha ha ha. But they don't peep the whole entire game, because it's like, I'm over here with them and I'm in the cool kids club. But it's been funny to watch and to lose respect for people, and to watch, you know, people that are vigilant about shit when it's just racial, when it's just like, to watch that dissipate once the biases come in and it's, oh no, this is a comedian, I don't want to talk bad about a comedian, one day he might be able to do something for me. This is a, you know what I'm saying, this is an actor, hey, I like acting, I really like this movie, I want to, you know, let me do something. But yeah, it seems really interesting, man. Like, I've seen people bringing up Patrice O'Neill, who, very funny dude, I really didn't agree with a lot of the shit he said, but that's why he was so funny,
right?
Because he would make you, it was thoughtful enough to make you laugh at the angle he took a lot of the time, for right. Me
and his jokes would be so fucked up. Did people, I don't know if people really listen to the shit he right. was saying. He said a lot of stereotypes about black women, a lot of stereotypes about relationships,
right.
Just a lot of fucked up shit that he crafted and formed in these jokes that would make you laugh. But if you got down to the root of it, it was fucked up.
And well, a lot of people, I think the offensiveness resonated with them, but they don't have the thoughtfulness or the craft to put it together the way he did.
Right.
Another thing he was really good at was time and place.
Right.
Like, he only died a couple years ago. He was a person that wasn't really on social media like that. You know, like, he wasn't putting Facebook rants up that go viral and viral videos, and he was saving his shit for the stage, saving it for radio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he found his audience and went there, because it was like, because if his shit was just put broadcast out to the world, it was a reason that he was always going to be seen as quote unquote underrated, because the world was not going to agree with that shit. You know, that's just what it is. It can only get so big, for whatever, you know, for whatever reason. But it's funny to see people trot him out like the god of offensiveness every time some shit pops off. Like, Patrice would have did this, it's like, nah, man, that's not how it was going down. It's a reason that he wasn't Chris Rock level. You know, that's a reason that most people haven't seen a special of his. When you talk, just in general, you have to be a pretty big comedy fan to be like, oh, I remember that Elephant in the Room or whatever.
And he's funny and he's hilarious because he knew how to execute it.
Yeah, well, also it takes time to craft that, and you need to go where your audience is. You can't right. just put that shit. It's not the kind of shit that floats everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people, the only thing they took with them was he made some people mad, and they think that's the same,
and it's not.
You know, you have no craft, you have no effort, you have no, your shit isn't even funny, you're just ranting on the internet.
And that's the difference. It's so many people, in my opinion, that go into comedy for the sake of being offensive. They're right. Not trying to be funny, they're not trying to craft jokes, they're just, I want to be racist, I want to be sexist, I want to be homophobic, I want to be xenophobic, I want to be able to get on this platform and say what I want to say, because I think when they feel like when I go to a comedy show, this is what I think a comedian is, like, right. Not trying to be funny, like, they have a misconception of what being behind that mic is and what it takes and the hours of craft and the writing time they have to spend and the going back and forth constantly being in their mind and the going to open mics and the traveling and the not being paid. Like, they don't want that part of it. They just want to be able to get on stage and just be offensive as they want to without a punchline, without, they're not to you, I'm not telling you a story, I'm not taking you on a journey with me, I'm not talking about, I'm not putting a picture in your mind, I'm just coming up here saying offensive shit. Ain't that funny? No.
Yeah, and the audience has changed. I think a lot of this is not accepting of a change of society. Like, you're essentially ranting against the change of society, but you're trying to be entertaining to the same society that you're saying is changing too much for you. Get some new jokes, dog. You know what I mean? Like, it's gotta be a lot easier to just come up with some new material than to write these long ass Facebook posts. It's gotta be easier. Like, it's gotta be easier to just try to find a way in this world to craft your voice to make people laugh rather than to do whatever the fuck, this waste of time bullshit. You know, like, laughing out of, I don't think people laugh out of, quote unquote, support in a real way. Like, to put it like, you really showed them, ha 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 ha, we're all laughing because we hate feminists. That, to me, that's not a real laugh. You know what I mean? Like, a real laugh is earned. It's something that you know, sometimes you can laugh at because you can't help it in spite of yourself. You're like, oh my God, that's funny, you
and
know?
And I wouldn't agree with this, and that's fucked up, but it's still funny. And
right.
I think there's something else that kind of frustrates me. You have a lot of comedians that are not funny. And instead of accepting the fact that they're not funny, they need to hone their craft, they need to get better, or you just need to step away from comedy, they won't admit that. It's the audience that's fucked up.
Right.
You don't get me. Right. No, motherfucker, you just not goddamn funny.
Everybody that's not a white man don't get you. You know what's funny, too, is like, because I love Vice Principals. Me and Justin were laughing about it today. We was talking about it, and we laughed to damn near the point of tears. But, like, that's, it's a funny-ass show that is telling you, like, these two dudes are fucked up, they're not good people, they're wrong.
Right.
So you can still find comedy in it, you just can't present yourself as the hero or the one who's right, and they don't like that. It's like the ego is, I have to be right. You know, it's even when, like, everyone's favorite, you know, Bill Burr now. Bill Burr is everybody's favorite. But, like, even with Bill Burr's stand-up, a lot of his shit is like, am I fucked up? Like, is what I'm thinking fucked up? Okay, I know this is fucked up. Like, he's crafted it so that he can present you the fucked up thing, the joke that we're all gonna be like, oh, I'm cringing, but I'm laughing. He's crafted it because, it's gotta be difficult to change your voice in the middle of your career, right? And I think that's what a lot of this resistance is too. You no longer get to be, hey, aren't brown people funny for being brown? Aren't women funny because they're women? Isn't it funny that someone is Islamic? Isn't it, like, you actually need a little bit more than that now, and it seems like people don't want to take that, they don't want to take the brunt of that hit of, okay, my material needs to change, I need to figure out a way to make this funny. Like, as much as people came down on Daniel Tosh, the reason that his shit was working with so many different types of people was just that he was, I'm fucked up, like, I'm an asshole, I'm not a good person, I'm smug and I'm arrogant. And you can kind of hate me even if you're laughing at me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's because that's essentially the way shit is set up in comedy at this point, is when you're trying to sell this to everyone, everyone now includes a lot of people that look at you and go, you look like all the people I don't like. You know what I mean? So now how you gonna win me over on this stage, you know, and some people can do it and some people can't, man. But it's
right.
It's been interesting to be within the comedy space as opposed to outside of it, to be inside and see the machinations that go on through social media and, you know, listen to people's podcasts and shit like that. It's like we're all kind of that world is available for us to peruse now.
Right. And a lot of times too, a lot of the best, in my opinion, a lot of the best comedians are the comedians that really make you laugh, in my opinion. They can be a butt of a joke. Like they could be the butt of the joke. Either, like you say, Bill Burr going, am I fucked up? Or somebody right. telling a joke about some fucked up shit that they did, or they'll tell a joke and they spin it around and it all revolves around them.
Right.
You know, and no matter how fucked up it is, they're just telling you a story or expression or taking you on a journey with them, but at the end of the day, it all surrounds them.
Right.
And I think that, to me, that's kind of what separates the okay and all right to the My Time is Funny to the funny comedians.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of these dude bros feel like, I'm white, I should be able to show up and I should be able to tell these terrible non-funny jokes and I'm not funny, and how dare you tell me I'm not funny and I'm not going to be the butt of a joke.
Yeah, well, you know, also it's like internet culture has breeded that as well. Like people always talk about like internet culture is making all these people feminists and this and social justice warriors and shit like, but it's like, well, wouldn't that work both ways? Hasn't it also breed a group of trolls that'll support anybody being offensive, whether they're funny or not, just because you jive with the shit? I mean, it's not like Trump came out of nowhere.
Right.
Like, those people were able to galvanize and group up via the internet. Like, a lot of these people, I forget, who was it that said, it's like being able to go to a white power rally. Oh, it was David Cross, where he said Trump being able to support Trump now is go to his Trump rally is like finally being able to go to a white power rally. And, you know, you don't have to wear like a Klan robe or anything. Like, you can just go out there. So it works both ways. Like, the same people ranting about, well, these feminists are just saying this to get attention. Well, you're just saying what you're saying to get attention, right? Like, is no one sharing this? Is no one liking this? Is no one grouping up and retweeting and all that shit for you? Like, it's been a really interesting experience to see it. But one thing I did realize through all this shit is, at first I was kind of like, man, I really wish more people would speak up. Because sometimes I feel like, man, me speaking up on different topics, I'm sure people get tired of that shit. I'm sure there's people that are like, I don't even fuck with that nigga. He always talking about some shit. You know what I mean? Which I get, you know, but it wouldn't feel so bad if everybody was talking about shit, you know? But I was thinking like, man, these people stay silent. They stay on the side all the time. And, you know, occasionally they'll say like something to me in a comment or something. But for the most part, they just seem to not want no problems. And I was hoping that they would call out, you know, some of their colleagues, because it's like, yo man, this is fucked up and I know you know better, so can't you tug your homeboy's coat and be like, hey man, chill out? But they're not going to. And I realized that works both ways. They're not gonna say shit to me either. Like, they might talk around me, they might sub talk, but mm-hmm. No one's gonna say shit to me either, because these people don't want no problems. Essentially,
yeah, they don't want no problems.
They just don't want no problems. And
they're like, I'm at work.
Right.
On social media.
Right.
So it's like, they really, you don't get any time off because you're on social media all times of the day, all times of the night. So you don't really get any time off from being quote unquote off work. So for some people, they have to always be on.
Yeah. So I don't know. Once I realized that, I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to just keep talking. Cause like, I don't like talking about all this shit. I really don't. Like, it sucks when you wake up and you're like, oh fuck, so I just seen some niggas talking about this is a conspiracy to bring down Nate Parker, now I gotta go fucking be like, hey, that's ridiculous and this is why, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make me happy to talk about this shit, but if I don't, there's a lot of dudes who won't say shit, you know? There's a lot of dudes who might would have said something, but nobody else is saying something, so I ain't gonna say shit. Mm-hmm. Even if they agree with me, you know? So that, I was just thinking about that shit today, man, on social media, because it was just crazy. All right, let's get into, oh, I'm sorry.
And I know we was talking at lunch today, and I was just thinking about some of the stuff we was talking about, and something that you brought up, and I don't know if I should rephrase it, but mm-hmm. I did meant what I said.
Oh, I know you meant what you said.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what Karen's talking about, and this has been going around a lot lately, with the Nate Parker thing and with the, this comedian at the UCB, a lot of people have been like, if I see anybody basically not on board with saying, fuck these dudes, demonizing them and get them up out of here, you a rapist too. And
cause I don't got to out. And I'm gonna tell you right now, cause me and Roger talked about this, and I'm gonna let him go on, then I'm gonna tell you what I have to say afterwards. Because I feel like this, the same way black men feel about the police. Guess what? You can't tell a good cop from a bad cop, can you?
Right.
You don't know, cause they all wear the same uniform, don't they?
Right.
So, even though it might be a 1% chance that you might die in an interaction with the police officer, anytime a police officer is around you, you have a panic, you get scared, you don't know what's going to happen, you want to record it because you want somebody to see the interaction, because you don't know if at the end of the transaction or the interaction you're going to end up dead. Now, you can understand that as a male and as being black, and I can understand that as being black, but being a woman, I also have to deal with the fact that I might could be raped. And because you sound just like the dude that actually did the raping, and you sound just like the trolls that are out here, when all of a sudden we got all these motherfucking questions. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to want to know the truth. It's okay to want to investigate. I do not have a problem with that. I do want to find out the truth. I don't have a problem with that at all. But my question is this. When the police stop you and somebody's, and all this shit hits social media, nobody ever says we want all the facts. Nobody ever says let's wait. Nobody ever says I believe the officers. Nobody ever says this. Nobody ever says let's wait till they do an internal investigation. This never comes up instantly across every social media platform I have. People have already made up their mind. They have already made their decision. They have already said the police officers did it. Fuck whatever happened after that. Nobody, and what do you say? You say, well, if you're a good cop, why don't you turn around and call out these people? This is what you say when it comes to the police officer shit, okay? But when it comes to women and it comes to rape, you want me to decipher your ass between you and the rapist. Y'all sound the same. You both said, well, what did she have on? Hold up, wait a minute, let's investigate. I don't have time as a victim of this to decipher who's a rapist or who's not a rapist. I don't have time because I am in immediate danger. Just like you're in immediate danger every time the police officer pull your black ass over, I'm in immediate danger from you. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. Just like when the police officer pull you over, you don't know who he is. Refresh, baby. You don't know who he is.
Yeah.
And that's why I said if you are coming out and you talking about let's wait, let's investigate, I cannot tell the difference. And why is it up to the victim to decide?
Right.
And decipher.
Mm-hmm.
When you get pulled over by the police officer and you're a victim of this, you don't want to hear that. You right. don't want to hear that. When the officers come out and say, well, you know, I'm a good officer, you go, fuck you. Your buddy over here doing such and such, why don't you call him out? Well, then why can't I do the same when it comes to this?
Right. I think, well, what I was saying at lunch was, I think there are some people that absolutely just sound like rapists. Like, there's, you know, the, what was she wearing? Why was she over there? So you get drunk and you regret the sex. Now it's rape. You know, those people. Then there's people that are like, well, I don't know, you know, what are we supposed to do with this dude now? Are we supposed to, he can't work again? Like, is no one going to look into this? Is anyone going to go to the police? Stuff like that. And I was saying, I know for a fact, and this is kind of like when you call white people racist, I know for a fact when you call that dude and say you're a rapist, they just turn off. Like, because they don't have to care. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, that person is never going to, they're not going to respond to that. You know what I mean? To like, well, you're a rapist. Then it's like, oh, what they're going to do then is paint you as like, oh, you're crazy. You call every man a rapist. It don't matter what he say. See, y'all were right. You know what I mean? Now, that being said, that's no excuse. Like, even if they say that, they're still wrong and that's still fucked up. And people are extremely emotional, and most people aren't very empathetic to that. Like, some of these discussions, like, I made a post on Ray's, Ray said something, and I responded to it, and I was ironically doing the same, you know, like, I'm just asking questions, and it was like over the top. Obviously, you know, Ray got it, everybody else got it. But one dude came in like the next day, you know, Johnny Come Lately, and was like, this is fucked up, because da 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 da. And it wasn't even about sexual assault. It was like, that dude who punched somebody on the set of his TV show or something. And he was like, this is fucked up. You're basically saying this, that, and the other. And I was like, everybody else got the joke. And then you wrote these two long angry posts. Obviously, we're on the same, you know, side on this. I don't disagree at all. And he's like, oh, my bad then. You know, it was, but a lot of people would have been like, oh, you came at me? You don't get my joke? You trying to say that I'm a rapist or something? Like, and they would have just flipped the fuck out, as opposed to, you know, I have a bit more calm demeanor than a lot of people. So to me, it was just kind of like, whatever the fuck, right? So my whole thing is, absolutely, because as I said on the show, we know a lot of people that's been sexually assaulted.
A lot of people, y'all. I mean, not trying to be funny.
Right.
A lot.
We know a lot.
I mean, literally a lot of people.
Everybody knows a lot. A lot of people don't. You might not know you know a lot. You know a lot. Everybody knows a lot.
Right.
Really. A lot of people walk in these streets. Even if you just looked at the people who reported rape, and the fact that we have such a backlog of kits that need to be tested in so many situations, even if you reported it, you notice a lot. Like, so even the, when you take, bring in numbers like unreported rape and things of this nature, we know a lot. We know a lot of people. With the way folks talk, they talk like they don't know nobody.
Right!
It's so crazy.
You act like you know nobody that's been raped, like you don't know a fucking rape victim. Most women that you cross at some period of time has had some kind of assault done to them, be it verbally, be it physically, be it something. And a lot of children, female girls, have had some type of sexual assault upon them, be it they family members, be it they uncle, be it they daddy, be it they brother, be it they boyfriend. Something has happened to most women that you cross. If you guys would actually sit down and talk to women, you would be shocked and amazed. If you sat down and talked to your mama,
they don't want to know.
Right, and you don't want to know, because if you knew, you would have to have empathy and sympathy, and you could not go out here and say this fuck shit.
Well, also, another reason people don't want to know, they don't want to feel the helplessness, even vicariously. That's really what a lot of this rejection is from men. It's our insecurity at being on the other end of something, because this is the one situation where it's perceived. Now, it's not true. It is not this way, but it is perceived that we as men are the powerless ones when someone accuses us of sexual assault. Now, it's funny that it's perceived that way, because we know in actuality it's very far from true. You know, like the odds of even getting someone convicted are so fucking low.
Right.
But just the nightmare scenario that just pumps through a person's veins when they think about the idea that for once, women who've been on the brunt of taking all this shit have a situation where people might believe them and you might be penalized for such. You know, it's the same paranoia men have about things like child custody court and child support. Like, it's like here's a scenario where the hunter becomes the hunted in their minds, and that's why you have men that don't even have fucking kids, they're not married, and they'll get upset, they'll get visibly angry at the idea of discussing a prenup. Nobody wants half of your Toyota Corolla. Nobody wants half of it,
right?
But it's the fear. The fear is very real for them. It's like how white people are so scared of black people. Don't get in my pool. What's like, that makes no sense. The fear, where is this fear coming from? It's illogical, but a lot of men possess that fear and they can't defeat it. It's like they can't even accept it, which is so funny, because it's like women have to live with this fear every single second of their lives. And men experience it for a little bit and freak the fuck out.
Yeah, because the thing is, men are taught that you can never be powerless. Like, right. let's just keep this real. Like, right. like most straight men, you're taught very, very young, You are not meant to be powerless. You're supposed to always be in control. You're supposed to be the provider. You're supposed to be the protector. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be the head and not the tail. Like, this stuff is kind of drilled to a fault, in my opinion, into men. So when you get to the point where something happens to a woman that you love or care about, and you feel helpless, like, you don't know what to do.
I mean, even the idea of telling somebody to go to the police when you know it's a mostly futile effort, that's just showing you how much we can't even separate ourselves from being men. Like, we just can't even separate, like, this idea that a cop won't believe us, which is extremely shameful for black men, in my opinion, because they do know better. But this idea that, you know, Jameis Winston's accuser goes to the police, and the cop tells her then, like, you sure you want to move forward with this? This is Florida State now. You know, like, that's not your job to give me your advice. Like, your job is to take the report. Your job is to go find this person. The fact that, you know, they didn't want to go and interview Jameis Winston. He said, they called him. He said, I ain't coming. They was like, okay, well, nothing we can do. Let it go. Like, these are hurdles for a victim. This is something that a cop should have done on his own, you know? The fact that it took several months to get the DNA results back, where it normally takes 90 days. For her, it took like 6-7 months. Then that result came back, and then it was, okay, now we definitely had to interview Jameis. He comes in. The school was like, we're going to do an investigation. He said, I'm not going to talk to y'all. They dropped the investigation because he wouldn't talk to them. Like, these are facts. This is institutional. Like, this is not, you know, whether this doesn't even matter on whether or not you think a sexual assault occurred. It literally doesn't matter. It's telling you the institution is that way. Well, I'll wait to see if more people say that. But it's telling you that the institution is set up a certain way where they're protecting their own. They're protecting this player. You know, that's what's most important to them. Not the safety and well-being of the other student who also goes there. So it's, you know, it completely goes into, protection mode for the university as a brand, you know, for the college football program, for things of this nature. So it's just kind of interesting to see that stuff, play out, you know?
Right. And you know what? Just like the officers do an internal investigation, the school did an internal investigation. They checking and balancing themselves.
Yeah. But the point being, it's such an uphill battle.
Right.
You know, so it's just sad to see people say that stupid shit. Like, they can't understand. You know, I've had my phone stolen. I've never called the cops. I think if they understood how common, no matter how traumatic it is, but how common it is, they will understand why everybody ain't so fucking vigilant. It's not a movie. It's not made for TV movie. A lot of people are like, that happened to me. I have to move on with my life. I just have other shit. You know, I'm going to try to compact this away and move on rather than be re-traumatized by pursuing this person or whatever. And it's fucked up because we've just been taught that, well, you just go to the police and you get justice and it works out and it'll be fine. And that's the solution. And none of us, a lot of people can't relate to the idea that someone would say, I don't think that's gonna work, so I'm not even gonna try.
Right. How many stories y'all have we read about hundreds and thousands of kits that they threw away, hundreds and thousands of kits that's been sitting 20-30 years that have never been tested? Right. People are raising money to get rape test kits tested. You have some states that's so fucked up, they charge the victim for the rape kit.
Right. So yeah, it's been interesting to see people just completely lose their shit over this, over, you know, they're painting people as victims because they're like, people are basically trolling women and victims and survivors and all this. They're trolling these people with these long ass angry posts with a lot of inflammatory rhetoric, and then I'm watching men retweet them and go, well, or share their post and be like, yeah, man, this poor guy, he's, so many people are mad at him. It's like, you wouldn't, even if you believed what he said, you wouldn't say it that way.
Right. And
you knew better than to say it that way. But now you're painting him as a victim when he's absolutely inciting people to be upset with him on purpose. And you're falling for it like a sucker. It's so sad to see. go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, my thing is like, and then when women get angry and come out the woodworks, it's like, right, black men get angry and right, come out the woodworks, because when shit happened to y'all and somebody and one of y'all get shot by the police, you don't want to hear nothing. Let's just keep that real. I've seen people go rant and rave and put posts. I don't want to hear jack. Like, that's people in their first words. Don't come in here. I don't want to care. I don't care what you got to say. You know, but yet for this, you kind of do the same thing to the women. And then when they come out, you act like something wrong with them, the same way that people dismiss you.
I just need to get to the point where the PC mafia is my biggest issue. That's all I'm saying, Karen. If I could just get my life that problem free, that the biggest issue is that people might take offense to the way I said something because I'm out here trolling for attention, I would love that. I just need to get to that point, because right now, you know, I'm really worried about dying from just walking down the street and walking the cop decides, you know, I'm just worried about that kind of stuff. Being accused of a crime I didn't commit, things of this nature, you know, I'm worried about these things.
I always fit the identity.
You know, a racist dude winning the White House. I'm a little worried about these things.
Yeah, I want white people problems.
Like I said, man, you have to laugh because it's just such a ridiculous world,
right? Because if not, you would scream.
Yeah, I mean, like, I went to see Suicide Squad and I was so disappointed because I didn't get to see Batman's parents die again. Like, this is the every time they do a DC movie, we supposed to watch his parents get killed. No. And that's a real problem I'm having these days. These are bigger problems than the PC mafia.
Maybe y'all, they tell me that story one more goddamn time.
Yeah. You know what I want to see? I want to see Robin in the new DC Batman movies.
Which Robin?
Any of the Robins. Okay. Either. I would love to see Damian Wayne. Like, you know what's funny about the Robins? They're such an unrealistic character. People always talk about Batman being unrealistic. Robin's way more unrealistic than Batman. Because, like, if a rich dude adopted a poor orphan and said, live in my mansion, and actually said, I don't want you to fight crime, I want you to just be a kid, he would be so mad at me. Because I think deep down, he do want Robin to fight crime with him. But he would be so disappointed because I wouldn't find none of them secrets. I ain't fucking with your clock, homeboy. Nope. I ain't going into your cave. I'm gonna be on the table.
I'm like, cool.
I'm gonna be on your couch eating Cheetos.
I'm gonna be Instagramming, Snapchatting,
playing Xbox.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna be watching A's. I'm gonna be watching Netflix. He's gonna be doing stuff like leaving the clock open so that I'll get curious and go down there.
I'm gonna go by and shut up. Like, who left this open?
Did you know the clock got a cave behind it? Yeah, I closed it, man. I don't know. You might want to fix that, dog.
I mean, Alfred, you might want to seal that hole up behind that clock.
Right. You know, he gonna be walking around in the Batman costume, and like, Rod, do you want to avenge your parents and fight crime? Nah, I'm good, bro. No.
And who are you, mister?
Yeah, I'm
I don't know. Should I call the police? Do you belong here?
Yeah, he take off his mask. You Batman? Well, that's cool, man. Well, anyway, man, your secret's safe with me, man. Right. Also, while y'all fighting crime, we are out of pizza rolls.
Yes!
So I'm gonna need you to restock. Yes. I mean, you're fighting Mr. Freeze anyway. Can you get him to put some on ice and bring it back for me? Because
I know, right?
Your boy is famished.
Could you bring me back some frozen milk? A frozen latte while you're at it.
He would be mad because he'd be like, come on, man, don't you want to train? I mean, I'm training to beat Street Fighter 2, if that's what you're talking about.
Hey.
I'm trying to get Ken.
Yes, I'm training to get on that pussy. What are you doing, mister?
Bruce, man, what is up with some girls tonight, though, man? For real? You going out again? At least throw a party as Bruce Wayne before you skip it, man.
I know, right?
Like, when I see that, like, no way. Because all the kids that are robbing always end up living in the mansion, breaking through his high-tech-ass security that no supervillain can get through.
Right?
And then discovering that he's Batman and being like, I want to join. Mm-mm. Like, nigga, every kid would go down there and be like, God damn, I'm gonna get in trouble if I get caught in this room. And well, they go right back upstairs.
Ain't that the truth? They're gonna like, I'm not trying to die. That right. looks sharp.
Right.
They'll be like, I'm gonna have to get fit and in shape. Fuck that.
All the kids he know want to fight crime. He don't got no kids that were like, man, this is dangerous. I got shot at tonight, Batman. This is stupid.
Ain't none of Robin's got asthma, no shit. Right. You know, come on.
They don't have like at least one comic book where Robin looked at Batman and was like, why the fuck am I getting the bright yellow target on my back? And you going in the shadows and shit. This seemed really dangerous, Batman.
I know.
Shouldn't you wear the yellow since you an adult and I get the black because I'm a kid so I can't get shot? It's going to be a dead kid in the news tomorrow and everybody going to blame Bruce Wayne because they going to know that it's me. I'm the only nigga that live in your house besides that butler. I'm going to die out here on the rooftop in a yellow canary costume and everybody going to be like, the fuck was this kid doing out here? Give me a black costume, Batman. This makes no sense.
Right. And why all your friends in fucking costumes?
Right. I don't know.
Could you imagine? Be like, what the? They get better. Be like, what the fuck? We was out in some fool dressed up laughing in a fucking purple suit. What? I don't understand this, Batman.
Right. Not me.
With these deadly ass flowers. It had acid. Motherfucker, do you know he shoots acid?
Right. You gonna fight that dude?
Right.
For what? Like.
He had people in a fish tank. You think this is cool?
Not to mention you can't kill nobody, so it's like even harder. Like, alright, we got him, man. Let's kill him. It's like, nah, we don't do that. Put his gun down, Robin. Like, oh, nigga, you tripping.
But like,
I'm going back to the house. I think it's not too late to catch power.
They're like, ain't Gotham police department. Where the fuck that? Don't they got some CSI that can do this shit? Why are we out here, Batman? Why?
Shit is so stupid, man.
I'll be complaining. Motherfucker, you know it's 23 degrees. Why are we out here tonight?
Right. Oh, my God.
Why we got to go out in the rain? It's raining.
Kids can barely do anything. It's just such an unrealistic character. Anyway. Nene Leakes is threatened by the IRS. They say they will seize her assets. She don't pay $824,000 in taxes.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
She might need to go back on the Housewives.
Oh, yeah, that is right. Wasn't she going to retire from it or quit or something?
Yeah, she actually left the show a few seasons ago.
Oh, okay. Well.
And actually went off and had like a, she actually got on another sitcom and it got canceled. And I think she wanted to do a acting career, and I don't know where that's going. I think she might have been on like a play or two touring, but yeah, like Housewives made her, and she was like, "I'm too big for this."
Right. So I don't know, man. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, and IRS won't they money?
Right.
Your house and your car, whatever you got. They gonna take it all, cause paying taxes is what your ass must do. Cause Uncle Sam is coming for you. They won't leave you alone. Pay your taxes. Pay your taxes, honey. They don't be fucking around. They come and get your ass.
Oh my God.
That's why we pay people to do the taxes.
Did you write that song earlier? How did you
know?
How did you know you had a whole lyric? I wonder how you could have did the whole song.
I know the cadence. I love that song.
Apparently Keisha Knight Pulliam is having more drama on the Rudy Huxtable circuit. She recently caught some public flack from a family member of her estranged husband. The actress, who currently is embroiled in a nasty divorce battle with Ed Hartwell, recently promoted her podcast, Candidly Keisha.
That's a name.
I think it's Candidly Keisha, but it's with a K. So there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was like, Candidly? What is...
Right, what's going on here?
Heavy D, Candidly. But yeah, Candidly Keisha. Candidly Keisha, with a K. So she got a little trouble for that, while she was promoting it. She said, download today my podcast and tune in for a special Ask Keisha. Hit me, answer your questions. Candidly Keisha, link in my bio on the Instagram. Then an IG user who has since been identified as Ed's aunt went off in them comments.
Not Ed's aunt.
Nothing happened to your sneaky ass, wrote the woman. all of a sudden you cook up this story of Ed doing and saying horrible things to you and trying to cause a miscarriage. I hope they don't fall for your foolishness. Sound like you didn't get the sympathy you were dying for from that interview and had to cook up a BS story.
Hmm. Is them clapping emojis in there?
No.
Was this on Instagram?
Yeah, it was on Instagram. Hey! No emojis. No emojis.
Oh, no emojis. I know my Instagram comments.
Best of luck finding the next man. You should have done right by T. It's no one's fault but your own. You sat around and waited till 37 to have a failed marriage and become nothing but an old baby mama. Mm. There you go. That's the latest on the Rudy files.
Meanwhile on Instagram. Yippee-ki-yo, yippee-ki-yay.
Okay, let's see what else we want to talk about. We haven't done this in a while. Let me get my music up right. It's been a while. Sad news. Here's one. So there was this dude who wrote an article in the Independent UK, and he is a gay man, and he was talking about Brexit and how Brexit kind of scared him because it shows that people are in their bubbles more than ever, and a lot of people assume that this couldn't happen, but racism and xenophobia basically got them out of the European Union and yada yada yada, basically, right? Mm-hmm. So he's saying there was this company that had like a they had a security guard that complained about the behavior of public displays of affection between a same-sex couple, and so the reaction was some people were like, let's have a kiss-in, which is essentially like we show up, everybody, same-sex couples and whatnot. I don't know if it would be different. I don't know how they would, you know, if it was anybody. But, you know, the point being, as a protest, we all go there, we have a kiss-in at a certain period of time, and then we leave, you know.
Right.
And he was like, we shouldn't do this, basically, because it's not going to solve homophobia anytime soon. And what we need to do is stop calling people bigots and stop dismissing these people as homophobes. That's the wrong approach. We need to have a conversation. I cannot disagree with this person more, you know. And the thing is, I'm not gay, you know. This is my straight ass opinion. Yeah,
I couldn't agree with you more. So the conversation is them calling me slurs, the conversation is me getting abused, sexually assaulted. So that's when they're gonna have a conversation with me, right?
Well, there's always this assumption that there's gonna be a conversation,
right?
What is the conversation? I've never seen this conversation. When is this moment? Throughout history, there's never been this moment of national conversation where everyone suddenly realized something was wrong. It is always taking protests. It is always taking the groups that are being marginalized to fucking make shit inconvenient and to get their respect. It's never been given. It has always been, because there's a certain amount of people that are, could be swayed. There's a certain amount of people that will just go with whatever. There's a certain amount of people that are on your side, even though they don't have to be. There's a certain, all those numbers are true, but there's a lot of people who are just obstinate. And the only thing that's going to make them change is having to change.
Forcing them to change. Like laws, like literally laws have to be in place to say, if you do this shit, there are consequences. Because if you don't do that, nothing will change.
Like the tide of the public opinion can kind of go in some ways to make enough people at least feel ashamed of themselves.
Right.
But it's not because you were nice. It's really just this idea, if we're nice enough, the people who are homophobic will stop being so.
And it won't work that way.
It does not work that way. That's just not how people work.
And racism and sexism.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Mm-mm. You cannot just be like, hey guys, we're being really nice about it. And the thing is, kissing is not even some really violent, vile form of protest.
No, it's not.
If somebody's like, ooh, two dudes are kissing, gross. I'm now homophobe. Now I'm going to be a homophobe and I'm going to make sure that they don't get their rights. That's ridiculous. And then not to mention, like that person was already gonna be like that. But not to mention the other part of this is, this isn't like Brexit. There's no vote coming up. There's no, it's a false ultimatum. It's a false equivalency. This isn't something where it's like, and then one day they might pass the gay vote and vote us all out because they, you know, because we underestimated them.
So what do you tell people? Just to be quiet?
To have a conversation. Like,
no, these, when you say that, you're literally telling the other side, y'all need to just shut up and be quiet. Because the conversation is gonna be them telling you how much they hate you. That's gonna be the conversation.
Here's his last paragraph. And this is why I just had to be like, this is ridiculous. However socially unacceptable homophobia becomes, and however noisily we express our indignation about its purveyors amongst ourselves, I think that until we actively seek an open, meaningful dialogue with people whose view of the world is so different to our own, at least in this area, we will continue in this monotonous cycle and nothing will change. It won't be easy, but I think it'll be worth it.
So you actually do nothing, basically.
Where's the how are we gonna have a meaningful open conversation? See, what a lot of people don't talk about too, protest is a conversation starter.
Yes, sir.
Protest is never the be all end all. It's never. It's always the thing that makes people talk about shit that they would not have talked about before. Whether it's because you sitting in traffic because Black Lives Matter, or whether you got, whatever the thing is.
It gets you talking. You're talking because you're mad.
You're talking
because you're angry. You're talking because it'd be inconvenienced. You're talking because you may have already been on these people's side. It's just for the fact that you're causing a group to talk about it that otherwise wouldn't have paid this group any attention at all.
Yeah. You know, so it's just kind of interesting to see that response, because we see it amongst Black people all the time with racism and shit too. There's always these Black people that are like, you have to go over there and see what the racist people are saying, or you won't understand what's going on. It's like, I can understand perfectly fine from right here and not be in danger and not have to fuck with this person.
You act like I don't have to deal with this every day. I think they had a post I seen going around on social media that said like 2/3 of white people never talk about race on social media.
Right.
You ever wonder why?
Yeah. You know, and I would not be shocked if the author of this is a white dude. I mean, he is LGBT, but I would not be shocked if they were white, because it sounds like something you think when you believe that if people were nice to you, you'd stop your bigoted opinions. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, if women were just nicer, then I mean, maybe I would listen to you talk about this. And it's like, nah, if you had an attitude, you weren't listening no way.
Right.
Like, you know, I'm not the one. Also, a kissing is not even some fucked up shit. Like, it's not even like, we gonna burn this motherfucker down.
You're not doing a disruption. You're not stopping business. You're not stopping traffic. Like, all people gonna do is just look and go, ew, if they feel like that, and keep it pushing. Or just not pay you no attention because they agree with you.
Yep. Let's see what else happened. Omaha school meeting goes off the rails after angry parents blame trans kids for destroying America. And you know, that is what's destroying America. It's nothing else. Everything else was perfectly fine. until we found out that some people were transgender. And then I remember that America was destroyed. I went outside. I was like, what the fuck? Did a nuclear bomb drop out here? The Zika, our pets' heads are falling off. What are we going to do? Yeah. What are we going to do with our lives now that that this is happening? You know, they're going to be in our bathrooms. It's like, they walk among us. Is
right. I never knew this before. It's almost like their eyes got open. It was like, oh my gosh, this is real.
I wonder what the percentage of people in America that know an actual transgender person that they like, they know one.
Right.
I wonder what percentage it is, because people get so fucking like livid and passionate about this shit.
Not really.
And you just have to wonder, like, what, how, like, you keep calling this like such a terrible epidemic and it's so bad and it's changing America, it's destroying the country. Can you name one person that's not Caitlyn Jenner that you know of? Like, the average person is just sitting around fucking mad about nothing.
About nothing. About absolutely positively nothing. If you were already checking the bathrooms, you're going to continue to check the bathrooms. Like your behavior isn't going to change just because they passed this law.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, like this was, I don't understand this fear. To me, is coming out of nowhere, because it wasn't a problem. You made it a problem.
Fear change, man. Letting go your old mentality, having to embrace new words and shit. Like, I gotta change something. Fuck this. I'd rather these people not have rights.
Yeah. And even with me, I was like, I'm still learning. I'm still finding out information and things like that. I come from a place of ignorance. I'll joke aside on a lot of these issues. So I'm learning, and as I learn and I grow and begin to expand my horizon, because I never knew what cis meant. I was like, what's a cis?
Right.
You know, and that's kind of funny. I was like, sissy, you know, because I just out of ignorance, because not just not knowing, but I was like, oh, so regular people are considered cis.
Regular. Straight heterosexual right. people.
I mean, I didn't mean that like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but yeah, I think everyone's so scared of walking that tightrope and fucking up, but you're going to fuck up. It's right. All new concepts to you. If people weren't so fucking afraid, I think they'd be okay. But everyone's so afraid to not be in a system of the where I'm automatically designated as the person who was right. Like, there's a lot of power in embracing the fact that you're wrong about something or that you can improve on something. I don't understand what's so scary about that. You know, like, And also, you can still have your lines. Like, I get people that are like, I'm not doing blank. Like, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about, like, I'm gonna violate your rights type shit. But where there's people that are like, I'm not learning this. And you're like, okay, that's where you drew your line. Or, I did learn this, but I'm not doing it. Okay, cool. You've decided that's where you're going to be a problem, and you're going to get all the get back that comes from that. You're going to get all the everything that comes from that. You decided you can deal with that. That's really how simple it is. Like, you know, you don't have to be the one that's the focus of attention and be right all the time. You know, sometimes it's just like, I didn't know this thing was a thing. Now I know. You know, right. That's to me, it's that simple. And I'm not even a person that likes, I love learning new words and embracing shit. I don't like it really, but I don't like to be fucking offensive to people if I know better and by mistake. I don't mind being offensive to people if I do know it's gonna offend you and I just don't give a fuck and I'm willing to take that. That's cool. But as far as like to be inadvertently offensive, I'd rather know than not know, to be honest.
True. And I think a lot of it, put it like this, I always come from a place of injustice is injustice.
Right.
And so when I see that a group of people are quote unquote being treated differently and they're passing laws and this shit just because they don't fit the standards, I go, okay, there's injustice here. And just like I don't want it done on me, I don't want it done on them either. And then that's where I come from on the LGBTQ issues.
Well, it's all slippery slope.
Right.
It's all slippery slope. You know, I'm assuming it's the hardest for white dudes to get, you know, for like straight white dudes are probably like in America anyway, it's probably the hardest for them to get. And it's still as it kind of goes into other areas, people opt out of what they want to opt out of. At any rate, these parents were very upset about this. You don't need boys going to girls' bathrooms. You don't need girls going to boys' bathrooms. It's an appalling thing when you try to make it all inclusive. And Omaha man named Charles Billups said, you're asking for more trouble. It's like opening Pandora's box. You're trying to destroy the very fabric of what America is all about. Jesus. This motherfucker said, all inclusive? No. When, like, what, how many situations has the word all inclusive been used to be like, what a terrible thing to want?
Right. Now you let the niggas in here. We can't be letting these other folks in here too.
It's an all inclusive vacation. No!
Everything is included?
The hotel and the trip. Mm-mm.
And the food and all I can drink? No, I want to pay for everything separately.
Destroying the fabric of America. The white KKK robe fabric of America.
Right.
The Confederate fabric of America. Oh man. The World Herald notes that other opponents of the board's new policy invoked Sodom and Gomorrah and argued that transgender students were troubled and confused, requiring help and compassion, but not public accommodations. Hey, I got a lot of compassion for you. I think you need a lot of help, and I want to help you. But you're going to have to hold it, okay? I'm going to need everybody to hold it for a few. Look, I know. I see you crossing your legs. I see you got to go real bad. I'm going to need everybody to hold it. I'm sorry. I have a lot of compassion for the fact that you really need to go bad. But there's some bushes over there. Stacey Dash will lead you to them. That said, there were some passionate supporters of transgender equality at the meeting who offered moving testimonials to bolster the school board's case for its new anti-discrimination protections. One was a sexual abuse victim named Billy Grant, who said that opponents of trans equality need to stop painting transgender teens as crazy sexual predators. Do not use your experiences to hide your discrimination, she said. It is not because my school is accepting of people who are different from what society called normal that I was raped. It is because society told older men that it is normal to be sexually aggressive with women. And then of course, the meeting was probably adjourned because it was like, oh shit, she's on their side. We gotta go. Is it 8:30 yet? So yeah, destroying America, guys. Here's a really sad one. Raylan Thomas is an Ohio transgender woman who was killed by her mom's ex who called her Satan.
What?
Yeah, transgender woman of color, who, you know, was living with her mother, and her mother had her, I guess her ex was living there, like her mom's ex-boyfriend or whatever. She was killed by him. Ohio police are investigating the death of 28-year-old Raylan Thomas, who was shot and killed by her mother's ex-boyfriend who lived with her family at the time. Thomas's mother, Renee Thomas, shared her daughter's final words with local news. Mom, please, please don't leave me. Mom, I'm dying. Mom, I love you. Tell my sisters and brothers I love them. Tell my family I love them. Mom, I'm dying. I'm dying. Please don't leave me. Renee Thomas said her daughter transitioned 10 years ago. Raylan's aunt, Shannon Thomas, said Raylan was a performer who was dedicated to fashion. According to Renee Thomas, her ex, James Allen Byrd, was transphobic and often called Raylan the devil. Renee Thomas says Byrd repeated the word before shooting Raylan in their Columbus home. He was in the bedroom and he just came around the corner and shot my daughter, she said. Now here's, okay, I read this article when it first came out, okay, and I don't know how I feel about this. They have changed the quotes from the mother and they've also taken some things out. Now I know she's grieving, but the quotes that were originally in here were fucked up. Like, it was like, my son got killed. It was a lot of like misgendering her. It was you know, a lot of like shaming her. Like, even though it was her child that got killed, she was still saying him, he, my son. She was still saying that shit. And I don't know if they caught flack from people who originally read it and said, why are y'all putting this in here? This is fucked up. Take that out. And then they decided to edit it and say, like, we just don't want no problem, so we'll just edit the quote to say my daughter, because they put my daughter, you know how they put the brackets in there when you didn't say that, but they used the word you should have used.
Mm-hmm.
They did that. And then they took out the longer quotes that said, you know, what she was calling him the devil, calling her the devil and all this other shit. They took all that out. So I don't, and I know some people were very upset because they were like, no, you should leave that in because that's what she said about her daughter, and it shows that hatred that people have to live with even in their own house from the people that claim to love them. They're still calling them the devil, they're still letting this the people abuse them, they're still in these situations, and they're still being misgendered in death even. And taking that out of the story to save a few feelings is actually kind of disrespectful to the dead. I don't know, is, you know, where to stand on something like that. I think I lean closer to just leave it like it was, because that's the truth of what happened, and
that's what she had said,
you know. But I also, it's not my child dead. I don't know. True. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't know what the editorial process was, if they got like requests from the family to take that shit out. Right. I don't know, honestly.
The family may have got harassed.
Yeah, I have no idea, honestly. I just know it was changed, and it was changed pretty fairly quickly, because when I posted it, it was all that shit was in there, and then like 10 minutes later it's gone. So also, it could be they attributed incorrect quotes, it could be a lot of shit. I don't know what happened. I just know these quotes were definitely changed.
And if they took her words out of context, they might have been like, well, I didn't say this, why is this in here?
It could be a lot. I don't know for sure. I just know it changed. After two shots, Bird grabbed Raylan and began beating her. He took a light away from all of us. We can't get back, Shannon Thomas said. And he needs to pay. Aside from memories, the family said they have a recording of Raylan singing Boys and Men It's So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday from 4 months ago. At least 5 transgender women have been killed in the past 2 months. On Wednesday, Mike reported that 36-year-old Erica Tijerina was killed in El Paso, Texas. In July, 3 transgender women were killed in the United States, Washington, D.C.'s Daniqua Dodds, Mississippi's Dee Wiggum, and Cleveland Sky Maccabee. Maccabee and Thomas's death happened within weeks of each other in the same state, Ohio. Local Ohio community organizers have expressed their condolences and plan to take action. Our hearts and minds and condolences are with the family, friends, and community of Raylan in this time of tragedy. Aaron Eckhart, training and technical assistance director of the Buckeye Region Anti-Violence Organization, said in a statement, "We must continue to come together as a broad community of support to say hate has no home in Ohio. Hate has no home anywhere." So yeah, it's just, you know. And then the other thing was, you know, I can't remember if it was in this article but it was like something like they won't be charging they haven't charged him with a hate crime yet. Let me see. Yeah, it's a murder charge, and it will not be which is not being investigated as a hate crime. I don't know how do you not?
Right.
I literally don't know how. If you call somebody a devil and you make many references to the fact that they are transgender as the reason that they are the devil, and but then you kill this person,
but it's not a hate crime,
how do you at least not investigate it as such?
Right.
even if you do ultimately discover that, you figure out, oh, it's not, to not even attempt to look, it's just, I don't understand. But this, you know, what is a trans life worth? We've covered so many stories here where even when people are found guilty, it's like, okay, 6 years. Like, that's not a full person's life. That's not an actual human being that you killed, as far as the court is concerned. Yep. Yep.
A new session.
Okay. All right, cool. Let me do that real quick. But yeah, it's just, some sad shit, man. Especially considering that, you know, another woman of color that's being killed in this situation. And like I said, the original quotes from the family were just so fucking sad. It's just like, what was your life like living here, to have to deal with this shit constantly
every day?
Yeah, you didn't, like, you, like, no matter what people think, you didn't deserve to go out like that, no matter, you know. And that's why I don't fuck with the, well, just be nice to people and agree to disagree and people will come around. Like, no, they fucking won't. Like, they're never gonna come around. Like, some of this is pure hatred, and unless you see it and address it as such, you're not helping the situation either. So let's get into some fucking with black people, guys. All right, now that I bummed you out specifically. Last week's shows have not been funniest. I don't know why y'all keep listening.
Why do y'all keep hanging around?
just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find articles that fuck with black people and we rate them from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right, let's see who's fucking with us today. Ellen DeGeneres has been accused of that schism.
Oh, shit.
Shout out to Hot Fire Starter. They've been accused of that. She's been accused of racism because she photoshopped the picture. Now apparently for context, she does this a lot. She photoshops herself in the historical pictures and for jokes and shit like that.
Okay.
She photoshopped herself onto the back of Usain Bolt and put out a tweet that said, "This is how I'm running my errands from now on."
Oh no.
And you can see the picture in the chat.
I know that didn't go over well.
It was received as racism.
even if she didn't mean it like that, that's how it's gonna get over the historical
context,
right? Of him running and him carrying her, like, you know, the old school posters of, you know, black people use as props, black people use as chairs, black people being set upon.
Yep. Now I do agree that the imagery is a problem. I do wonder, do you have any black people that review these things and who they are? Because I can see some black people not even knowing the context themselves or not even thinking about this.
Right,
but the problem is when you put something out on the internet, it's for everyone to see.
Right.
That's
why you need to be very diverse in the decision making. Like, you literally need diverse people, because if she'd have caught the right person, they'd be like, I don't think you should do that.
Yeah, I find that hard pressed to think that no... I don't know.
Somebody
there's some black people that would have been like, that probably wouldn't have seen it either. But I'm gonna just say,
and she cutting them checks.
Yeah, in general though, I think there's some black people that would have advised against it. Whatever. Mm-hmm. You did it. Some people were offended.
Right. You either deal with it or you don't.
Her response was basically like, yo, I'm not racist. That was kind of her response to it, you know, like people were bringing it up. So the first thing that pops in your head when looking at this pic, oh, let me jump onto his back like he's a common mule. Imagine a white man photoshop himself riding Elaine Thompson. Ellen show how, oh yeah, that's what someone said to her on there. Saw the Ellen Bolt meme, yikes. You know, there's a few of these. Some of these have like zero retweets and shit. But the point... The point being, she eventually said, I'm highly aware racism exists in this country. It's the furthest thing from who I am. So not really an apology necessarily, just kind of an acknowledgement that people think what she said, that picture was racist. How fucked with you are you, Karen?
75.
All right. I think I'm
about 50, 75. And the reason why is because honestly, and maybe it's just me, I believe her when she says, me personally, I believe her when she says she's not racist, but it's still fucked up.
Yeah, I give it like a 50, 25 maybe. And you know what? I give it a 25, but the 25 is mostly because I really do believe Ellen just fucked up and didn't think about it.
Right.
And I don't know that you're going to get... it depends on how big the backlash was, because I don't think you were going to get a huge apology for that, because you're going to have a lot of black people that are like, I don't care, it's funny, or I don't see racism in it, or you know what I mean. And once you have that many black people who are also like, I'm woke, but I ain't on board with going after Ellen. And I know Ellen's had issues before with like Nicki Minaj, when she did that skit with the little girl that was Nicki Minaj. It was a black girl that had like a huge prosthetic ass, and that was like a gag or whatever. So I know a lot of people don't see it for Ellen. And she's also a white woman, you know. So there's a lot of people, she got, you know, there's a lot of people that like, I don't really fuck with these white women. I definitely don't trust you to be making jokes that involve any level of ethnicity.
Right.
So there's be a bunch of distrust there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Me personally, I like, when I saw this, this morning, I just went, okay, like it didn't, like maybe it's just cause I've been arguing and seeing people be fucking crazy all week, it just didn't register with me as something that made me mad. Like, it was just kind of like a, well, that's unfortunate, I hope she gets that taken care of type of thing.
Right.
So for me, it's 25. All right, let's see what else we got here. A disturbing moment where a DC cop dangles a black school teacher, 32 years old, up in the air and calls her a prostitute for standing up to a street harasser. Yeah.
What?
Yep. You know, called her a prostitute. She's 32.
Because she says, don't harass me.
Because she told us she was standing up to a street harasser. And
so was she supposed to just be harassed and you was going to stand there and do nothing?
You know, I
100.
Guess. All right. Yeah, I think there's the clip of it. Let me see if it's still up though. But yeah, basically tried to say she was like causing a disturbance and
she's making, causing the disturbance and she's gonna be harassed.
Yeah, here it is. I don't know if you can see it on your screen. Do I need to make it bigger?
I'll make it a little bit bigger.
Is that big enough?
Yeah.
So he's got her lifted. If you can see her feet, she's all the way off the ground.
Oh.
He's got her jacked up against the car. And then he lets her down. So she's a very small woman.
So he just, the person that harassed her just went on about their merry way, right? Apparently.
Yeah, they're not in the, they don't show them. Yeah, they don't show them. It was actually, the footage was shot by a Twitter user. So that's probably good that just somebody from Twitter would happen to be there. And of course, you couldn't hear the conversation due to the background noise. But you could kind of tell what, like he was saying, do you want to go? How large are you? He says, right, you're a grown ass woman. He then says, as he steps back and drops on the ground. So this just happened, wrote Mac and Cheeks on Twitter. I'm tired. He literally hopped out and did this immediately to her. No convo, dog. What the fuck? And then a second video showed the police looking more apologetic, with the male picking up an object identified by Twitter user as textbooks from the sidewalk. The female officer asked the cameraman who she calls baby girl if she has a bag Shadden can use. See if I can play that video for everyone. Okay, so they picked up the books. That's the thing, they rough you up so bad normally when they jack you up like that. If you had something in your hand, if you,
it's going on the ground.
Yeah, it's just, you know,
you also hope you ain't got nothing important.
Cost of doing business.
All school supplies and shit, she might have lost her lesson plan, everything, just tumbling down the road.
Baby girl. It's baby girl now, huh? So in a third video, it shows Shadden standing by a bus stop with the cops, while the cops sit in their car nearby, and fourth has Shadden talking directly to the camera. Either way you look at it, it's harassment, she says. I'm a school teacher, I work out here, I help these little girls all day, every day, so there's no reason for you to assume that somebody out here doing the wrong thing. She later told Fox 5 that she and others at the bus stop were standing up to a man who was harassing another woman when the police intervened. I never said nothing to the gentleman in particular. The police seen me talking aggressive to the man, yet telling him, if you don't get out of my face, I'm going to react to you. So I guess they took that as a threat. She also said the officers didn't arrest her or serve her with a citation, and that they refused to give her their names or badge numbers. That's that old move.
Because they don't want to be identified.
The school supplies that were dropped were for her daughter, she said. Washington, D.C. Police Department said it has contacted the cops commanding officer and was investigating the matter. Yeah, I wonder how the investigation is going to turn out.
Nothing. The officers did nothing wrong.
Right.
It's harassment. Either way you look at it, it's harassment. I'm a school teacher, and I work out here, and I help these little girls all day, every day. So there's no reason for you to assume that somebody out here doing the wrong thing. And most definitely when I'm in uniform. Are you serious? And I'm not a little girl. I'm 32. I just look good for my age. Thank you.
God damn. Black women so good. But yes, that's fucked up, man. That is fucked up. 0 to 100. Oh wait, you already said yeah, 100
immediately.
Yeah, 100.
I mean, not trying to be funny, because that's some shit that could be happening to me. I could just be picked off my feet.
Right. Because you were standing up to somebody that was a street harasser, and they immediately see you and go, "You the problem."
And the other person just walks away.
Yeah, obviously. Well, I mean, what did they do wrong other than street harassing and get called out for it? So let's see, what else do we want to talk about? How about racial segregation is alive and well on social media. Among other things, the rise of Black Lives Matter movement has highlighted the gulf between how Black and white America understands issues of race and policing. Today, Americans view race relations are at their most pessimistic since Rodney King rise in 1992, according to a recent poll. In a new piece of research published on Monday, the Pew Research Center has highlighted how that divide plays out in its most modern technological form on social media. Instead of bringing diverse range of opinions into the lives of homogenous communities, Pew studies suggest that social networks have reflected the segregation seen in other parts of the world. According to the research, the gulf between what Black and white people see on social media is astonishing. For example, Black Americans are 4 more times likely than whites to say that most of the posts they see on social media are race related. Simultaneously, white Americans are more than 3 times likely than Black people to say that none of their posts they see on social media have to do with race. It's really like two different Americas.
Of course.
The chart is notable because it shows that some of the real world political consequences of the well documented echo chamber that social media has become, thanks to complex algorithms that dominate the most popular networks like Facebook, rather than show people opinions that challenge their beliefs, the algorithms share content that data says we are already predispositioned to agree with, deepening the political divides that already exist. So white people remain relatively cloistered from some of the discussion around race and racism in America taking place in other communities. This issue is compounded by the continuing segregation of the U.S. that takes place on a neighborhood scale. One study in 2014 found that a full 3/4 of white Americans don't have any close friends of another race, compared with about 2/3 of Black Americans. This is important because both Black and white Americans, not to mention Latinos, feel that race relations are a growing problem in the country. It's just that we don't all agree with what we're talking about when we say that. A majority of white Americans now believe that anti-white racism is a big problem, and a bigger problem than anti-Black racism, for example. The implication is that when we talk about race in our lives, we largely talk about it with people who look like us. Pouring out your heart about race relations on social media might feel good, but as a means of affecting social change, it is increasingly ineffective. You are far more likely to just be preaching to the proverbial choir. Mm-hmm. You would think that social media would bridge a bunch of divides, right? NPR's Gene Demby said in a recent conversation on the impact of social media and race conversations, but the reality is so much more difficult to overcome. But it's not just where we get our information from, it's who we talk to outside of social media. 0 to 100?
0, because duh.
All right, yeah, that's about right. Yeah, I'd probably say... Yeah, 0. I knew all this shit.
Yeah, because Black people are forced. Like, Black people don't have the option of not interacting with white people. And I don't know if white people ever realize that. Y'all are the bulk of the population right now. So, everywhere I go, everything I do, any transaction I do, you are directly involved in my life if I want you to or not. You know, a lot of times you can get to the point where you want to be in the shell. And you separate yourselves, but even that shit's hard to do because white folks complain that they ain't there. And he's like, bitch, can I do something in my life without you being fucking involved? But I can't have no space. I can't run away. But white people can literally go their whole day. It depends on what kind of lifestyle they live and depend on what kind of job they have and not interact with one brown person.
Yep.
So you ain't telling me nothing I don't know.
That's right. It's white people news time. Everybody get your Birkenstocks on. You know this is the 80s when you had
oh, not the Birkenstock.
5 minute intro to every song.
Oh yeah, for you to work. Yeah, for you young bucks, we used to make you wait for the intros.
All right, that's enough. Comedy has been part of my career, Blake Shelton claims after that he was just trying to be funny amid fan outrage over resurfaced sexist, racist, and homophobic tweets. Hey man, look, I'm just the comedian country singer. Everybody knows this. I'm Blake Shelton. When you think of Blake Shelton, what do you think of? Comedy. You just say that.
I think of country music.
Well, either way, that's on brand. Racist, sexist, and homophobic. I mean, country music, comedy, same thing.
No, it's not.
He put out a statement to the nearly 18 million Twitter followers he has. He admitted to being inappropriate, immature at times, and limply apologized to anybody who may have been offended. Many fans were outraged earlier, so he said, shucks, egg on my face. Everyone knows comedy has been a major part of my career. It's always been out there for anyone to see.
That's what they known for.
That said, anyone that knows me also knows I have no tolerance for hate of any kind or form. Can my humor at times be inappropriate and immature? Yes. Hateful? Never. That said, I deeply apologize to anyone who may have been offended. Blake. Well, I accept your apology. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
We're going to have a song about it next week.
His words are not mine. Amy Schumer says she is saddened and disappointed by comedian Kurt Metzger's sexual assault comments. Man, it don't get no whiter than this. This is white on white violence right here. I knew she was catching it though, because I saw an article yesterday that was like, because anytime Kurt Metzger goes on one of his, like, I hate feminists and social justice warriors and PC mafia things, she, like, they always put in every headline Amy Schumer writer Kurt Metzger, because her show is widely viewed as like a feminist show by white people, mostly, you know, white feminism. Like, so it's this violation, because for the most part when people like Kurt Metzger and comedians and shit go off about feminism and shit, they really have white women in mind. Like,
right, the brown folks ain't really thinking about you.
Yeah, black women are pretty much an afterthought, if anything at all, because, you know, to a large extent, black women don't really fuck with feminism, quote unquote, in the way that white women do anyway.
Right,
so,
and we have to separate ourselves, because we go, well, overall, historically, you have not fought for our fucking issues.
Yeah, and it's like, well, we can at least agree that we hate white women, right? And it's like, yeah, white women are the worst. So they don't really think of black women that way anyway. But the people that prop up Amy Schumer, especially when she was doing her show, and they were trying to be like, look how forward thinking and progressive this show is, and it gives a woman's perspective, and it's not like, it's good, but it's not preachy. Well, this is one of the people that writes for her, you know? So he took to Facebook and Twitter over the last couple of days to clearly quite aggressively make his thoughts on sexual assault known. And since the 39-year-old is credited as a writer for writing for Inside Amy Schumer, the leading lady finally responded on Wednesday after an outcry from fans. Now, what I saw on Twitter at first was people were asking her, was she gonna say something, and then she would block them. So I don't know exactly why that particular response. You know, she's human, she probably didn't want to see that shit. She was like, I didn't say that shit, whatever,
right? But and, like I said, her status, who knows how many people tried to, she might have dealt with, was like, all right, this is no, I'm blocking everybody past this point.
Yeah. And so it could be that, it could be
right, because you know, Mitch's probably just lit up,
who knows. So she has spoken about her own experiences with rape, but she assured fans that she does not support Kirk's belief, posting, his words are not mine. Kirk does not work for me. He is not a writer for my show. Please stop asking me about it. His words are not mine. After sending her love to Elite Daily writer Katie Corvino, who had written an article thanking the comedian for her helping her come forward as a rape survivor, she addressed the scandal. I'm so sad and disappointed in Kirk Metzger. He is my friend and a great writer. I couldn't be more against his recent actions, she posted. She followed the first tweet by sharing, Kirk does not work for me. He is not a writer on my show. Please stop asking me about it. So that might be why she blocked people too, because you know, the articles kept saying he's a writer for the show, and she's like, he don't actually write for me. He's listed on as an IMDb as a writer of 39 episodes of a Inside Amy Schumer between 2013 and 2016. He had been posting on Facebook for days regarding a comedian who was allegedly banned from performing at the Upright Citizens Brigade theaters following rape allegations from multiple women. In one of many posts, he scolded women who said they were raped but do not go to the police. Don't fucking complain about police not helping if you didn't bother going to the police at all. Why aren't the rape kits being tested? Because instead of actually educating women with useful information on what to do if they are victimized, you blather nonsense about culture and then tell them being weak is being strong, he wrote. After Medium posted an article titled Kirk Metzger Needs to Shut Up, the comedian continued to respond aggressively, reposting it and adding, I could not be proud of this article trying to smear me for being right. Having this written about me is better than receiving a fucking Emmy. I'm supposed to just say fucking guilty without even detail of what supposedly happened or what. Goddess will be angry. Fuck you. Along with a continuing barrage of Facebook and Twitter posts, Kirk changed his Twitter bio amid the row to proud cuck and rape apologist. If you use those words, it means you are pure shit, and I want you to hate me. Please continue to feed me cows. Meanwhile, comedian Cameron Esposito posted a note to female comics in New York and everywhere regarding Kirk. It read, voices can get so loud that they appear omnipresent when they are, in fact, a dying breed in our field. This doesn't mean they cannot harm, but safety, compassion, and understanding are winning. Stand your ground, do your job. Speak out when you sense danger. We are each other's responsibility. Together, we can make comedy a safer workplace. Hashtag I am too, she concluded. But, yeah. Cameron followed that message with a second tweet saying, I don't know why I didn't say his last name. Actually, I do. Fear. I'm talking about Kirk Metzger. Amy revealed in her new memoir, The Girl with the Lower Back Tattoo, that she is a victim of sexual assault herself. She also tackled the subject multiple times on her show, at one point skewering supporters of Bill Cosby, who has faced allegations from over 50 women. So, yep. There you go. White people news. White on white crime. It's gonna be interesting to see, comedians line up to figure out which ass they need to be kissing, because Amy has her own show, but Kurt is, you know, the big dog on social media. So it's like, how do you decide who how your kids gonna eat? You gotta kiss one of the asses, figure it out. More white people news. Lady Gaga is releasing an Italian cookbook with her daddy. That's right. Apparently, the singer-songwriter known as Lady Gaga will be releasing a cookbook in November called Joan Trattoria Cookbook, classic recipes and scenes from an Italian-American restaurant with her father, Joe Germanata. Inspired by the restaurant Joe and his wife Cynthia own and operate in Manhattan's Upper West Side called Joan's Trattoria, the cookbook has collected recipes and entertaining anecdotes inspired by Joe's world-famous restaurant. Joe himself authored the book while Gaga penned the foreword. So there you guys go. Get you some Lady Gaga food in your life. And everybody look forward to that, right? More white people news. Taylor Swift gave $1 million to help Louisiana flood victims.
Aww.
That is very sweet of that lying son of a bitch. You lied, Taylor. Your money don't erase them lies. You caught on camera,
but it still helps though.
You busted. Nah, I don't I'm not as angry as everybody else is with Taylor Swift, but I never really get that angry. I mean, how can you be so angry at the person who made Shake It Off? I don't understand. I really don't. I don't get it, guys. Okay? I mean, when your booty is moving to that beat, I mean, it's so hard to stay mad. It's just,
ain't it though?
You know. But yeah, she gave $1 million to them, and that's good, man. You know, that's dope that people are going to be taken care of with her money. And I hope that she helps as many people as possible, dog. And,
me too.
You know, I'm sure that a lot of people will be like, so can Kanye chill out now? I don't know. Kanye does what the fuck Kanye wants. Britney Spears will perform at the VMAs for the first time in nearly 10 years, white folks. Mm-hmm. She back. Guess who's back? That's right. So the last time she did it was 2007. She was a shell of herself. Someone decided she should open the VMAs. The performance was critically panned at the time. Oh, I do remember this. Yes. Oh my god, it was so bad. This back when I like occasionally would catch a white people's award show. Oh my god, I just remember being like, what the fuck happened to Britney Spears? Is she on drugs? Like people were thinking,
yeah, she does shows in Vegas now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. She's been doing it for a while, but apparently she's coming back for a comeback this year. She announced in a video that she's performing at this year's VMAs for the first time in 9 years. The clip features homages to all of her iconic performances: the boa constrictor, the wedding outfit, the red latex. It's Britney, bitch.
That's gonna be interesting.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see the next day when white people tell me how it was. Bop. all right, let's get to some guest race. I don't feel like talking about white people anymore. I think we kind of exhausted that. So let me get to guest
race. What white nonsense is this?
All right, take your time. Take your time. All right, here we go. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. You messed up. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room and Karen, to guess the race. And the chat room plays along, and the chat room is racist. And today's Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. That's right. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Get clear, smoother skin with Bevel. Smell better. Okay? It comes with a really sleek, sexy looking starter kit. You open it up, it's like opening up a fresh pair of Nikes. Mm-hmm. And you Negroes love those, don't you?
Oh, Lord.
The starter kit comes with a safety razor, shaving brush, blades, primer oil, shaving cream, and a cool storm bomb. It's time to upgrade your shave routine, okay? You're looking whack out there using the white man Shaitan razors on your face. Go to GetBevel.com. Use code TBGWT. Get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. Code TBGWT. Now, let's get back to this racism. Let's see. What story do I want to cover? How about... here's one. Wife and mother of three was arrested after planning to kill her husband using castor beans to make ricin poison.
What the hell's a castor bean?
I would assume it's some type of bean, Karen. That's right.
Is it made out of castor oil? What's happening here?
I would assume it is not made out of castor oil, but I don't know. Maybe castor oil comes from these beans. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just reading the headline like you, Karen.
Yeah.
Okay. A wife and mother.
Deadly beans out here.
Beans. Bad for your heart.
Mm-hmm. Beans, they'll kill you.
A wife and mother of Alabama is accused of planning to kill her husband with rice and poison produced from castor beans. Kristen Mae Vining, 32, was arrested on charges of conspiracy to commit murder, along with Eric William Lipscomb, 23. Both were taken to Shelby County Jail and are being held at $50,000 bond each. The pair had planned to kill her husband, Gene Franklin Vining III, using castor beans to produce rice and poison. According to the arrest warrants, the mother of three brought Lipscomb from Ohio to Alabama on July 21st to help her kill her husband. Shit. Wow. Okay. The county district attorney, Jill Lee, said that the shocking case evolved quickly and the investigation is ongoing. The relationship between Kristen Vining and Lipscomb is unclear. Probably fucking. She worked at as a receptionist for a Birmingham area surgeon and has two daughters and a son with her husband. So three kids ain't gonna have no daddy. Rice and poison is found naturally in castor beans and can be made from the waste material left over from processing the beans. In addition, it can be produced in the form of mist, powder, or pellet, and it can be dissolved in water or weak acid. If castor beans are chewed and swallowed, the ricin that is released can cause serious injury. An adult can be killed after ingesting a dose of purified ricin powder the size of a few grains of table salt. Damn, this some shit that can just be, it's just out there in the world?
Right. It's all kinds of shit out there that'll kill you. We don't know nothing about.
How the hell do you even get castor beans then?
Have no idea.
You can't just buy these over the counter, it don't sound like.
No. So you got to know somebody. Why ain't this shit illegal? You could just boil it up and kill somebody.
Yeah. Anyway, guess the race of Kirsten Mae Vining.
I'm going to go with, she was very creative, black.
Black, all right. Let's see what the chat room thinks. Poison was the only seasoning she added to the beans, white. White castor beans to poison someone instead of greasing them edges.
Oh,
I be unnecessary. I put unnecessary veggies in anything. Everything white. Breaking Bad, white as fuck. Black, white, white. Black woman would have just used hot grits. That's too much work. White.
Ah.
Well, Karen, you missed it. The correct answer was white.
Oh, I'm terrible at this game.
I don't know how you missed that. Some people did get it right. I don't know how you missed it, just because if it was a black woman, she probably would use like black eyed peas, pinto beans, you know, red beans and rice. I don't know what you just totally whiffed on that. These are some very white looking people.
My bad.
And she's definitely fucking that dude on the right. I don't know what her husband looks like, but she's fucking that dude. All right. Let's do another one. Let's see. Let's go to the bonus round here. I'm not gonna play the music.
Oh, somebody said you could buy them on Amazon.
Ugh, damn. You can fuck somebody up, I guess. All right, let's see here. I don't wanna die, I have kids. Body cam footage shows a cop pleading and wrestling with a wanted sex offender who pulled a gun on him. Police in Oklahoma have released body cam footage showing the moment an officer enters the trailer of a wanted sex offender is threatened with a gun. Police went to the home in Spiro in LaFleur County amid reports that the man was living there. Johnny Thomas Reed, 70, was wanted in connection with a case of child sexual abuse in Missouri. We were told that he may possibly be trying to flee the area is the reason why there was urgency to get out of there and speak with him. However, as seen in the footage, the officer follows Reed into the travel trailer is immediately confronted with a gun. The body camera equipment recorded the conversation between the two. Mr. Reed, I need to talk to you for a second, the officer said. All right, talk away, Reed told the officer. My understanding is that you have some warrants out in Missouri. You need to step outside for me, okay? Let me get my suspenders on, Reed replied. Officer tells Reed that he shouldn't, but Reed retreats anyway. The officer follows. Reed turns and pulls a gun. The two struggled for several minutes as the officer pleaded with Reed to drop the weapon. Mr. Reed, don't do it. Let me have the firearm, okay? The officer continued, Mr. Reed, please let go of the gun. I don't want to die. I've got kids. The officer, who was not being identified, then fires his weapon, hitting Reed in the hip. Reed was subdued, taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. He would require surgery to remove the bullet. The officer has been placed on leave pending the outcome of the investigation. However, the chief said he stands by the officer's actions 100%. I believe he had every intention of shooting the officer. I'm 100% behind him. He did everything he had to do. Reed will be held on charges of child molestation, aggravated battery, and assault with a deadly weapon on a police officer, failure to register as a sex offender, and possession of a firearm after felony convictions. He had an outstanding warrant in Missouri for child molestation. Guess the race.
Three first names, white.
All right, let's see what the chat room says for their guess. Herbert from Family Guy, white. Trailer, check. Three names, check. Pulled a gun on the cop, live, check. Whitest person in the history of white people. Cops would have used an explosive robot for Hakeem, white. To put this in guess the race or white people news had to be tough. Impossible white criminal, white policeman easily could have claimed the white man molester was sweet tea, calmed him with sweet tea, white. The correct answer is, and I think everyone got it, white. Yeah, that's I mean, obviously he was white. I mean, he's still alive, so.
Ah!
He put a gun on a cop and they let him live. What a world. What a world. I got kids. Don't do it. All right, let's get into sore ratchetness and then we'll get out of here. I'm getting tired. It's been a long week. Next week, everyone try not to rape anybody and have it show up in the news. Can we just cross our fingers, guys?
Right.
Try to get back to being silly. Dead. Alleged daycare fraudster approved to work with children despite a sword attack and terror investigation.
Shocking revelations tonight about the man at the center of an investigation into.
Oh God, I can't play this whole clip. It's 9 minutes. Jesus Christ.
Oh, what do we got to? What's that important?
I mean, I appreciate them taking it so serious, but come on. Apparently, a man charged with fraud is part of an investigation into suspected funneling of millions of dollars in Australian taxpayer money to Islamic State was authorized to care for children in his home despite being convicted of threatening to kill someone with a sword at a shopping center. Hussein Dandachi, 26, was charged last Friday with rorting more than $80,000 in child care benefits for daycare services that were allegedly never provided. As part of an Australian Federal Police AFP investigation into an alleged fraud syndicate suspected of funding ISIS. The revelation about Dandachi on Monday night's 7:30 program has sparked questions about how he continued to be authorized to work with children despite being under close watch by counterterrorism authorities and becoming involved in a standoff with police at gunpoint in which he threatened them with a sword. He was arrested last week and raised on the Sydney Childcare Network, which was founded by Australia's highest ranking terrorist, Mustafa Mohammed, who calls himself Abu Sulaiman, and is now a senior official for the Jabhat al-Nusra terrorist group in Syria. The network has claimed nearly $27 million in government subsidies since 2012 and employs nearly 600 home providers of family daycare. Shit. Man. People have been unable to locate a massive portion of the $27 million, I mean police, and are investigating whether the money was defrauded to fund ISIS, potentially making Australian taxpayers one of the biggest funders of the terrorist group.
Wow.
They uncovered a network after Dandachi, a 26-year-old waterproofing contractor, was stopped from boarding an international flight from Sydney late last year and his passport was canceled. Authorities suspect that he was bound for the Middle East to join ISIS. AFP launched an investigation into him and discovered he was claiming tens of thousands of dollars in government subsidies to provide daycare services in his home.
You don't say.
Yep.
White.
Well, he's Middle Eastern of some sort.
Oh, my bad.
But,
that's a white crime.
That is a pretty white crime. But at any rate, man, this is why you gotta take sword ratchetness seriously, man. If they would have investigated it and taken it serious, they would have gotten this guy before he could even do any of this shit. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, we'll be back next week or this Saturday. Premium people, Balls Deep is out. I think I have another pregame to put out, so you guys are getting a lot this week. All right, We appreciate y'all for listening. Also, if anybody watched Outkast, hit me up. I do need to, I was thinking about doing an off-season review, depending on what the interest for that is. Okay. I have no idea. I feel like I'm the only person in the world that watched that whole shit. But, yeah, so if anybody watched Outkast, let a brother know, and, maybe we can recap it. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.